is.
It's time to go in depth with your questions for Virginia Governor Bob McDonnell.
Now live from the Glass and Close Nerve Center, your hosts, Mark C. Graves and Mark Lewis.
Here we go with our November edition of Ask the Governor with Virginia Governor Bob McDonnell. We'll be getting to your phone calls this hour, 877-336-1035, the number to call, 877-336-1035. You can email us at WTOP.com. We're taking questions on our Facebook page as well, or you can tweet your question. Use the hashtag AskTheGov. Now, WTOP's Mark C. Graves.
Governor, thanks for coming in. Happy Thanksgiving.
Morning, Mark.
We will get to Notre Dame football at some point in the show, I assure you. Because I know that's on top of mind for you. But let's get to a few other topics.
Can we talk
first
about your beard first? I want your listeners to know, because I can't see how good you look this morning with your winter coat. You kind of look like a Ben Bernanke.
I'm going to keep the beard until Maryland plays in the Rose Bowl.
Man, you're going to look like Moses.
That's right. Let's talk about transportation and transportation funding. You said the other day that you were open to changes to the gas tax. The gas tax in Virginia has been a flat, 17.5 cents for years. You have opened the door, it looks like, to at least a discussion about changing that and tying it to the price of gas, like most taxes are.
Well, that's not exactly what I said.
Please correct me.
Well, what I said was we have a math problem, and I was simply outlining over the last 25 or so years what's happened with the gas tax and why we now today have a $300 or $400 million maintenance deficit, where we're actually taking construction funds simply to maintain the roads. That's projected to get bigger and bigger, and I was simply outlining the realities, Mark, of the gas tax, which is because it doesn't fluctuate with economic activity, i.e. inflation, like every other tax in Virginia, and because of alternative fuels and higher miles per gallon. You add all that together, and the gas tax revenues, while they've gone up in real dollars, is in terms of actual purchasing power, that it continues to go down. So that's what I was just trying to explain, is the economic reality, and that we have to do something to address that. So what I have said is I want this to be a session where we address transportation. We've done an awful lot with the bond package. I think you've seen a lot of construction around Northern Virginia, the hot lanes on 95, 495, a number of other things, rail to Dulles, a lot of things are going on right now. But the bottom line is we still have not addressed this issue of the maintenance crossover, and I was laying out the math realities of the current gas tax, and we have to find ways to address that. And so I'll have some proposals later on.
So are you open to the idea of changing? It sounds like you're at least open to the idea of changing the gas tax in some way.
Well, I'm open to the idea of fixing the problem that we have a gas tax that is an ongoing declining revenue source in terms of purchasing power, and we have an increased need to build road and bridge infrastructure and increased requirements from our consumers. You know, people are tired of sitting in traffic up here. I grew up here 50-some years ago. You've drive around the area. There's a lot of positive things happening. You see all this construction out there now. But the quality of life in many respects relates to how much time you sit in a car. And I want to see families spending time together and not sitting in traffic. So I'm open to looking at ways to fix the problem. I had a fix 2 years ago, where we got the largest bond package in Virginia history, over $3 billion. That's making a huge difference right now. I had a proposal last year that would have addressed it by using more of the existing sales tax, passed the House, killed in the Senate. So I'll be back with some proposals this year. I was simply saying there's a problem in our current way of funding transportation that has got to be addressed, and we're working on some plans. There's four or five plans that have already been presented to me by legislators. We're evaluating those, and we'll have proposals before the session.
A bill hits your desk that ties the gas tax to the price of gas. Is that something that you would sign?
Now, this is the third way you've asked that question.
I got another 30 seconds.
You're trying to – no, I mean, I'm going to look at all these options. Position over the last 3 years, Mark, is we've balanced budgets without raising taxes. We're not going to raise taxes in Virginia. Now I'm going to look at some tax reform ideas and some other things that we can do in order to fund transportation. But tax increases in a down economy generally don't lead to greater prosperity.
Governor McDonnell, let me just close the loop on the gas tax. No, your last answer left me wanting. Is there because you say that you're opposed to any new taxes, so that would seem to indicate that you would not sign a bill that would raise
Mark,
the gas tax.
If you have a tax that fluctuates with economic activity, that's not a tax increase. That's what every other tax does: the corporate tax, the sales tax, the corporate income tax. every tax goes up according to economic activity. The gas tax is simply one that doesn't. So I would not look at that as a tax increase. But I'm not saying I'm just looking at a range of things to be able to address it. We have to use some general fund money. Some have opposed that. That's not responsible. We've been having surpluses of $450 million a year because we're managing our budget conservatively. We're creating new jobs. We can certainly use some general fund, new general fund money coming in for transportation. It's a core priority of government. We have to do a better job here in Northern Virginia. So I'll have a series of proposals that I will make. Others will make some. There's already some that are out there. But in addition to the significant bond package on our VDOT reform, I want to improve the quality of life for people here in Northern Virginia to keep them out of traffic and have more time with their families. There's a lot of positive things going on. $14 billion in projects right now, Mark. It's the highest in the history of the state by far. We're getting great deals from the companies. Interest rates are terrific. So it's a good time to be building road projects. And I think a push this year with all of us working together, we'll get something done that'll fix this.
Speaking of getting people to work faster and home earlier, the hot lanes have mm-hmm. opened since last you were here.
And only a few accidents. That's good news.
A little bumpy start there.
I think
to begin.
One of them is you.
No, I've not yet experienced the hot lanes, but okay. I look forward to it. Tell me how is it going so far and what tweaks need yet to be made?
Well, that was an exciting announcement 2 weeks ago. I was up here to do the official unveiling of the hot lanes, and a week ago Saturday, they opened. This is a long time coming, like most projects. Governor Kane and his team started it, and our team completed it. The good news is because it was a public-private partnership, Mark, which I'm using more of, it was under budget and on time. I mean, that's exactly what you want. So now people have real new options to be able to use the regular lanes, or for an incremental toll fee, they can use the hot lanes. From everything that I've heard, it's working well. There've been a handful of accidents, but they expect that with a new route. But I think people really think this is a value proposition. The next step, though, since this only goes from a little past Tyson's to the Mixing Bowl, is we've got to get the 95 hot lanes done, which will be the Mixing Bowl South, and we started that project about 2 months ago.
And there are people who, we got some emails who question whether raising the price as the congestion gets higher really encourages people to use them, or if it does not, has the opposite effect.
Well,
do you have any data yet on how many people are using it or how it's going?
No, but this idea of congestion pricing is one that's used around the country. This isn't a new model. It's a market-based solution to transportation, which I think people believe you pay a user fee and you pay it to create value, and it's a value to you if you can use a better road during rush hour. And so that's the economic theory. No doubt VDOT will monitor this over time, and if we have problems with having people use the road, I'm sure they'll make adjustments.
Let's get a call in here. We have Whitney. She is calling from Arlington. You're on with the governor, Whitney.
Hi, Governor. This is Whitney from Arlington.
Hi, Whitney.
I'm on winter break from SVU, Southern Virginia University.
Yes.
And I'm preparing for graduation.
Congratulations.
My guidance counselor, thank you. My guidance counselor told me that our unemployment rate in Virginia is still the lowest in the country, and I was just wondering what we're doing that Maryland is not.
Well, Whitney, first of all, thanks for working hard and being able to prepare yourself to be a future leader. We want more young people to have that opportunity in Virginia, which is why we have a goal of 100,000 new degrees over the next 15 years, and we've made record investments in higher education, about $350 million over the last three years. So congratulations on that. Actually, I would like to say our unemployment rate's the lowest in the country. It's not. It's 5.7%, which is the lowest in the Southeast and the third lowest east of the Mississippi, but we're about ninth, I think, in the country. But what we are doing is we celebrate success in Virginia. And if you're an entrepreneur and a job creator, we find ways to promote you and to support you with tax and regulatory litigation climates at work. We've got major new incentives, about a number of new incentives and trade offices around the world. I've traveled extensively to places around the country and around the world to ask businesses to come here. And we promoted agriculture and we promote entrepreneurship. So all that together, free enterprise system will work well if government will just keep a limited approach.
Governor O'Malley would want me to point out that Maryland got some very good job news in the last month with job creation. But while unemployment has gone down steadily in the past few years in Virginia.
Is he counting all the Marylanders that have come to Virginia? He must be adding those
into
his numbers.
We'll get you both in here for a cage match.
Where
soon,
is he?
Because I'm getting tired of playing the go-between between you two.
No, you're not.
You're right. But let me ask you, what we did see a report today is that wages have gone down in Virginia. While the unemployment numbers have gone down, and that's good news, the household incomes have gone down as well. What do you tell Virginia residents? What's the explanation for that?
Well, you know, that is a concern. I mean, this area and Maryland and Virginia both have good economic drivers around the D.C. metro area for a lot of reasons. Federal government contracting, a lot of science, high-tech things that both Maryland and Virginia enjoy. We're very concerned about that because this area, particularly Loudoun, Prince William, and Fairfax, have been some of the most affluent counties in America because of the job base, particularly the technology-driven sector. So we're obviously more concerned right now about that figure, and more importantly about what's going to happen with sequestration and the fiscal cliff and the mandates that might be put on the states and the cuts that might disproportionately affect Virginia and Maryland and job cuts.
Is it a trend, the wages going down?
Or? I haven't dug into the data yet, honestly. I just saw those top-line numbers. Anytime you see that, it is a concern. We've tried to promote industries in Virginia that are higher wage, aerospace and defense contracting and technology, biotech, nanotech, healthcare. These are all high value propositions. That's why we're focusing on the STEM degrees in colleges that will lead to those higher wages in the future. So we'll dig into that and see if we need to do something different.
Virginia Governor.
That's something that's been considered. There are pros and cons of that. Some states do it. Some states do all mail ballots. We have absentee ballots, and those are going up. There's about, I think, 19 reasons why you can vote absentee, but we don't have a vote absentee early for any reason like some other states do. It's a discussion we'll continue to have over time. There have been some concerns about security of ballots early and repeat voters and things like that that have been some problems in other states, and I think that's certainly been a growing trend in some other states. It's not something that's been received well by the Virginia General Assembly for a lot of reasons, but it's something we need to continue to look at. Everybody ought to have a right to vote. That one man or one person, one vote is the hallmark of American democracy. We don't want anybody to be disenfranchised.
Are you open to the idea of early voting?
Yeah, I'm open to considering that. My biggest concern would be the ballot security issues, and to make sure that we don't have that problem. I'm not sure that's the only answer to long lines. I think, you know, additional splitting up precincts and having more machines. There's other ways to accommodate people. And there's something exciting about Election Day itself that I think of Virginians
have
always.
Not when you're waiting 5 hours in line.
Well, there weren't that many. I did an hour and a half myself. I got to make a lot of new friends. But I would have preferred, obviously, having a half an hour. There were some up here, Mark, you're correct, because of power outages and some other things and a rush at 7 p.m. where we had some people in Fairfax and Prince William, I think, actually were 2.5 hours plus in line. That's not good. We got to fix that.
Let's get another caller in here. We have Nancy is calling from Manassas. Nancy, you're on with the governor.
Good morning, Governor.
Hi, Nancy.
It's always a pleasure to talk to you.
Thank you.
I want to discuss a topic that's overlooked. We have a very historical state here in Virginia. I don't think most people really recognize what we have to offer. We have a lot of opportunities in Virginia to attract people outside the state to visit and therefore increase our revenue. What are you doing specifically as governor to promote tourism in Virginia?
Hey, Nancy, thanks for the question. You know, we've had a major initiative on wine, tourism, and film. That has been successful. You're exactly correct. Between the mountains and the oceans, the great history, the military bases, the D.C. metro area, we have enormous tourism opportunities. Virginia Beach, our largest city, that's the primary industry down there. We have dramatically expanded the tourism incentive grants to be able to help with tourism promotion. We're back on the air with the Virginia's for Lovers commercials and advertisements around many states on TV. We have done a number of other promotions with some new incentive money that I've gotten to put in the budget, and we're just playing up Virginia more. We just got Spielberg Lincoln movie that was filmed entirely in Virginia. That's now hitting the silver screen as of 2 weeks ago. I think that's going to help the wine tourism industry. We're up to the fifth largest wine producing state in the country, and we've had dramatic increases in wine sales, and agritourism is a big deal. So there's a lot of positive things happening because tourism, by definition, generally means people from other states coming and spending money in your state, and that certainly helps with increasing revenues because of economic development.
Speaking of tourism, what do you think about gambling going in, more gambling and table games going in Maryland, Prince George's County, very close to Virginia, giving Virginia residents more access to gambling?
Well, that's a choice that Maryland's made. That's not how we've expanded revenues in Virginia. We've routinely rejected major expansion of gambling in Virginia. We do have a lottery. We do have paramutual betting, and those are working reasonably well. In fact, the lottery has done exceptionally well over the last couple of years with extended revenue growth, and some game expansion is being evaluated. But table games,
Are you concerned about a negative impact on Virginia having more gambling closer to Virginia?
Not really, no.
Virginia Governor Bob McDonnell here taking your questions on Ask the Governor.
We'll be getting to more of your questions for Virginia Governor Bob McDonnell. The number to call, 877-336-1035. That's 877-336-1035. Email us at WTOP.com or tweet your question using the hashtag AskTheGov.
Governor McDonnell, let's go right back to the phones. We have a caller. David from Dumfries is calling on line 6. David, you're on with the governor.
Morning, guys.
Hi, David.
Good. My question is, and a lot of people listening, I'm sure those are in the studio with TOP, know how tired we are of probably getting run off the road or having a lot of close calls for people who are multitasking, specifically on the phone and not paying attention to drive, which is a privilege, if I understand, in Virginia. Is there any legislation in the books, or are you willing to support any that will eliminate it completely and put a fine along with it that will allow the police to do the job to keep us all safe on the roads?
Well, David, thank you for calling in. In Virginia, we do have general laws on reckless driving, on improper driving, aggressive driving, and other laws like that that cover a multitude of conduct. What we don't have is specific laws to ban specific types of conduct, whether it's texting or being on the phone or, you know, there's other kind of things, you know, eating in your car or putting on your makeup or looking under your seat for what your daughter left under the seat. There are all those things that if you endanger someone else and causes you to drive improperly, then you can be charged with other offenses, both traffic and criminal offenses. Reckless driving is a criminal offense. So we've got the blanket laws already that I believe are sufficient. And so single out particular conduct.
But it sounds like no one would be cited for that until and after there's an accident or an officer witnesses somebody weaving in and out of lanes or something. But it doesn't. That seems to be more reactive than proactive.
Well, no, because if you can do certain things safely. You can actually have a phone conversation, or you can talk to your passengers in your car, or you can grab for your books on your seat. You can do those things and do them safely. We don't recommend that, but you can do those safely. What we do is we punish conduct, and that's the basis of the law, is if you do something so it causes you to drive erratically in such a way that you danger someone else, that's when the offense occurs, and that's when you can be cited in Virginia.
Usually we wait to the end of the show to talk sports, but I don't want to run out of time.
I can't wait. It's 10:34.
I don't want to waste any time. But let's start first with the ACC.
Yes.
Something a lot of people in this room have a vested interest in the interest of full disclosure. Maryland student and a season ticket holder, and Mark Lewis went to Virginia. Maryland is leaving the ACC.
Yes.
Your thoughts on the future of the ACC and UVA and Va-Tech?
Well, I'm convinced that Maryland's leaving because Notre Dame is coming in and they just didn't want to play the Fighting Irish 12-0. But I know we're getting to that in a minute.
We'll get
to
that.
So not a lot of courage there on your Terps part. Listen, I grew up a great Terps fan. My dad's a Maryland grad. My sister's a Maryland grad. Went to Bird Stadium forever watching the Terps. And lifelong, I'm a Maryland fan unless they play Notre Dame. But
Virginia?
You know,
what if they play Virginia?
Well, or Virginia, of course.
Okay,
moving along. There's so much jockeying going on here in the conferences. Obviously, the Big East is losing teams, including Notre Dame now coming to the ACC, which I think is good for Notre Dame and good for the ACC. Very good academic conference, which is where Notre Dame wants to be. I think a lot of this obviously is about money as well as TV appearances and scheduling and so forth. And I guess every team, like Rutgers and Maryland just did, going to the Big Ten, has to make its own decision about what they think is best for them. Maryland is not a Midwest school, though, so that's, you know, the geography now doesn't matter anymore.
They connected the dots for us. About the idea?
Of course, the Atlantic Ocean doesn't hit Notre Dame and South Bend, Indiana either, so there's those old geographic conferences are gone.
What about the possibility, there are rumors now, that Virginia may bolt from the ACC?
Well, that would be disappointing. I mean, Virginia and Virginia Tech, both ACC schools. Governor Mark Warner actually helped to facilitate Virginia Tech coming into the ACC. I think it's a great a great rivalry, and I certainly hope the ACC stays intact. Great academic schools, great sports, not just in the prominent ones of basketball and football, but you know, lacrosse and swimming and so many of these others. I mean, it is a top-notch conference, so I really hope it stays intact. That's a great place for UVA.
Okay, I know you're thrilled about Notre Dame, but honestly, Governor, the most overrated team to play for a national championship.
All right, talk to me.
I guess that's a question.
Talk to me January 7th, and we'll talk about that.
You
Mark,
really think Notre Dame can beat Alabama or any SEC top 10 team? I mean,
Mark, we got the top-ranked defense in the country. We're allowing 10 points a game. You win with defense. They're scoring enough points to win. We had, at the beginning of the season, we were unranked, had the toughest schedule in the country. We beat 9 bowl eligible teams.
Bowl eligible? How many top 10 teams did you beat? I'm telling you.
2.
Well, I think it was 3.
Oklahoma and Stanford.
You really think you have a shot against either Georgia or Alabama?
A shot?
Well, obviously you have a shot. You're going to play.
Notre Dame will be national champion. Look.
You're confident of that.
Well, here's what I'm really proud of.
Play, Alabama or yeah. Chuck Todd asked you this morning, and you took a pass on this question.
It doesn't matter. Listen, we
matters.
Hey, we beat Alabama in 1973 when I was a sophomore at Notre Dame, and I'm glad to have a repeat of that. And then we lost to Georgia in 81 for the national championship. Now, having said all that, here's what I'm really pleased about. You know, it's been a topsy-turvy year. Notre Dame started the year unranked with the toughest schedule in the country and finished number 1.
You keep saying that.
Well, I just want to make sure your listeners were catching every bit of that.
Barely beat Pitt.
But the point.
Triple overtime.
I know, but that's because we wanted the more advertising dollars on NBC so that they could carry the game a little longer. I don't have tickets yet, but I would love to go to the game. It's been 24 years. But here's the point I did want to make is Notre Dame also had the highest graduation rate among athletes of any school in the country this year and still finished number 1 in football. And I think, no matter whether you're a Notre Dame fan or not, I think that's something that's positive. ACC schools were right behind many of them, you know, Duke, Wake, and others. To keep high academic standards, which is the point of college, and still be excellent in sports, I think is something people should celebrate.
Notre Dame grad Bob McDonald here taking your calls and questions on Ask the Governor. Governor, we had a lot of emails from parents of school children complaining that their kids are in overcrowded classrooms and that Virginia law speaks to this issue. But when they voice complaints either at the state level or to their school board or wherever, the complaints are falling on deaf ears. And I got a stack of emails from parents in anticipation of your appearance here wanting you to step in and do something to correct and, I guess, enforce the laws that are on the books.
We have a goal in Virginia of, I think, a ratio of about 22 to 1. Having an excellent, well-trained, motivated teacher in the classroom and a reasonable classroom size are critical components of a world-class education. Mark, the enforcement mechanism, though, is something I'm going to have to look into, whether it's school boards or state board of education. I will do that and maybe get back to you, and so you can post something online for people to know what our action is that we're taking.
Let's get another call in here. We have Eliana calling from Arlington. You're on with the governor.
Hi, Governor. How are you?
Go ahead.
Hi. Good morning.
Hi. Good morning. In light of all the controversy surrounding construction regulations on abortion providers, also known as TRAP regulations, and the recent resignation of Health Commissioner Karen Remley, are you actively looking for a new commissioner, and will abortion be a litmus test?
Well, listen, thank you for your call. The General Assembly did pass that bill 2 years ago, I believe, and with bipartisan support on improving clinic regulations. I did sign that, and the regulations have been approved now by the Health Department and are coming to me for final action. And listen, I really appreciate Dr. Remley's service. She's a very good doctor from Virginia Beach. I've known her for a while. She did a very good job as the health commissioner. We are looking for a new health commissioner. Dr. Hazel, who's our Secretary of Health, is conducting those interviews and will be making that decision. And we're going to hire somebody who meets there's very strict statutory requirements for the health commissioner about what specialties they have to have, because it's a public health position, and we will hire the best person available for their job. And there are no litmus tests other than they have to be excellent at what they do.
So there won't be questions about their stance on abortion or abortion clinics or anything like that?
Well, that the regulations are in place, obviously they're going to have to be able to enforce those regulations. If somebody has some conscientious objection to a statute or to enforcing regulations that are on the books, that would be problematic. But obviously, we want that person. This is a person that's really in charge of public health and worried about biological attacks or influenza outbreaks or avian flu. I mean, we need somebody that's just excellent in those areas, and that's why we hired Dr. Rumley.
Delegate Bob Marshall, speaking of abortion, is quoted in the paper saying that he's getting a lot of pressure from his party to back off on his abortion bills, and he has a personhood bill that looks like it'll be dropped. It won't go anywhere. You were asked about this morning on MSNBC. The larger picture of whether the Republican Party is softening on abortion. This would seem to indicate if Delegate Marshall is getting this pressure from within the Republican Party to back off his stance. Is that an indication that the National Republican Party is looking to soften its stance on abortion?
I'm not aware of any pressure that's been put on him. I take the delegate at his word. He and I worked together for 20 years on a number of important pieces of pro-life legislation. Mark, what I've said is, listen, the Republican Party is the party that stands up for innocent human life. We're a pro-life party. The Democrats have clearly said they're a pro-choice party. And so people can, if that's what the only issues people vote on, they can make their choice. But in this past election, the issues were clearly job creation, energy, debt, deficit, and related issues. People voted on the pocketbook issues. And so when we're the party of ideas that is setting a broader vision for how we're going to get people out of debt and back to work and have the greater access to the American dream, we win. Everybody knew when I ran in 2009 that I was a strong pro-life leader, had been for 20 years, would be a pro-life governor, and I won by 18 points. So I think people are certainly willing to support a pro-life governor when they know that they're right on the other issues and are going to get results. So I can't speak to what people are saying or not saying internally. I just say that we've made a lot of progress to make sure we protect innocent human life and the common sense things people care about: parental notification, informed consent. Those are things people broadly support. Republicans led the way. Democrats opposed it. But these are things that the people of Virginia support.
Virginia Governor Bob McDonnell taking your questions on Ask the Governor.
Final minutes this month with Governor Bob McDonnell. Your chance to get your question in is now. 877-336-1035, the number to call. 877-336-1035. Email us at WTOP.com. You can follow along on our Facebook page or tweet your question using the hashtag Ask the Gov.
Governor, you pardoned Jonathan Montgomery
Yes.
the other day. This was a gentleman who was convicted of a crime that he clearly did not do. The victim recanted and said she made the whole thing up. But it took a long time to get this man out. Is he actually out yet?
He's out.
He's out now. But it took a long time because of the procedural roadblocks in Virginia law. What can be done to make sure that an innocent person doesn't spend more time in prison than required, or when something like this comes up again?
Well, actually, it took 20 hours once I got the petition. I mean, the governor
cannot. But this was days or longer than 20 hours from when the report came
to light about the recantation. That's true. But at that point, governors and courts can only act, Mark, upon a filing of a petition. The court did get a petition and made a ruling, but we do have a rule that after 21 days, the trial court loses the ability to modify its order because you have to have finality in judgments. But we do have a remedy that I actually helped to put together and put on the books years ago that allows a petition to the Supreme Court or the Court of Appeals, depending on the nature of the evidence, to be able to get a writ of actual innocence. And that's being filed now by Mr. Montgomery. But in the meantime, as soon as I got the petition for a conditional pardon, we granted it within 20 hours. We had done a lot of the legwork before it got to me. And based on everything that I saw, it appeared as though the recantation was valid. And so I immediately had Mr. Montgomery released from prison.
Let's talk about the MWA board. You
Yes.
complained about this for a long time, about the makeup of the board and you not having the proper representation. You've had some movement on that recently. Update us on that.
Well, Mark, it wasn't really complaining because I didn't have proper representation. It was about the management and the stewardship of taxpayer dollars for the people of Virginia. That's what I was concerned about. And yes, part of it was this is a entity funded primarily by Virginia with also help from the federal government, but Virginia only has about one-third of the votes, and that seemed to be a little bit out of out of whack. The good news is the Congress passed a law that the president signed last November. Finally, the D.C. City Council has ratified that, as has the Virginia legislature. I've made my new appointments, the last of which will be seated this month. Maryland and D.C. have made new appointments. They're good appointments. And so I'm very excited about the new members, that they're going to have the best interests of the taxpayers of the region at heart. And more so, you know, the IG, the Obama Administration Transportation Inspector General, has issued some pretty scathing reports about the conduct of the MWA board. All I want is them to get their act together, to do a good job, to be good stewards of the taxpayer money, to keep the tolls low, to stop the problems with their contracting, and run a good, clean operation when it comes to this huge infrastructure project. $2.8 billion for the second phase of the Dulles toll road. I want to see that be built, but the citizens have to have confidence that it's going to be managed properly. I'm now confident we've turned the corner. We've got good people on that board, and we're going to find the ways to get this funded. That'll be a good deal for the citizens.
This morning, Chuck Todd asked you about your future plans, noting that you've been putting out press releases that somewhat
will include watching Notre Dame win the national championship.
You're putting out press releases that somewhat go beyond the boundaries of Virginia. You put out a press release on Gaza recently. What are your plans going forward, as your position with the Republican Governors Association,
yes,
and then what happens after 2013?
I've had multiple statements during my time as governor supporting the people of Israel. I visited there last year on an economic development mission that was successful. We visited with Shimon Peres, the president of Israel. I've got a great affinity for the people of Israel. And so when they're attacked by terrorist organizations like Hamas, I think I'm going to, like many in Virginia, Eric Cantor and many others stood up for the people of Israel. I just turned over my term as RGA chairman to Governor Jindal of Louisiana. We actually have 30 Republican governors now, 20 for the Democrats. 60% of Americans have Republican governors because we're getting things done. We're getting results. We're not blaming people. We're balancing budgets without raising taxes. We're creating jobs. So I'm interested in that. I'm interested in the American dream. And so, you know, I've got 14 months left. I've got a big session this year on transportation, on K-12 education, on fiscal reform that I'm interested in. And then, Mark, we'll see after that. This will be my 22nd year in office. That's a long time. I've been incredibly blessed to have positions of responsibility that the people of Virginia have trusted me to do. And we'll see what happens down the road.
You're not ruling out running for another office? Senate, perhaps? There are some left.
You know, I really don't know. I honestly, as many of my predecessors have said, there is no higher honor to be governor of Virginia. Jefferson and Henry, the first two, you follow in that line, it doesn't get much better than that. So if I could be of some value to the conservative cause that helps to move the ball forward, makes our country a little bit better, using my experience as a retired Army officer and a legislator, a prosecutor and a business guy and a governor to make things a little bit better, I'd find ways to do it, Mark. But I don't have any decisions at all made yet.
Speaking of national issues, let me ask you about Susan Rice.
Yes.
What do you think about her as a candidate for Secretary of State?
I don't know. That's a decision for the Senate. I don't know enough about her credentials one way or the other, although I am concerned about Benghazi and why we weren't prepared on 9/11 and why for weeks we said it was due to some obscure video in Florida when they knew in real time that it was really a terrorist attack, and why we didn't respond for help. Yeah. I'm worried about the response of the United States government to those men and women. We got a dead ambassador, and we have no answers. I'm worried about that. And if she had a role in that was not good, people ought to ask those questions. But I don't have any opinion on that. That's a decision for the U.S. Congress.
Final score of the Notre Dame-Alabama game?
I mean, those are the two best defenses in the country. I really think we're going to play Georgia. But I hope we're going to play Georgia. But that's going to be, that's going to be a 21-17 kind of game.
Virginia Governor Bob McDonnell, we appreciate
Notre
you coming
Dame,
in
of course.
Every month. Thank you very much.
Thank you.